Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brett. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, and there he is, everybody's favorite cousin who always shows up on time. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, one day closer to college football. We can sense it. We can feel it. And, man, do we got a show lined up for the cousins to kind of burn some of that time till we actually get there. You know what?
It's never good when I see 7-5 and Tennessee in the same sentence, you know? Oh, my gosh, what is going on? Hey, we are 15 days away from SEC football. I'm absolutely pumped up, brother. It can't get here soon enough. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you were a kid and it hit Christmas, you know, it's like December, and then you find out you're out of school the next week, you know what I'm saying? But right. Christmas is still a little bit, that's kind of what it feels, the same sensation. And I just can't wait to open up those presents, and the presents being college football.
Absolutely. But the only thing, Shane.
Yeah.
That makes college football even better.
What's that?
Wagering on it. So go on over to MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code, Shane, SEC, when you put in your initial deposit, and then we'll match it 100% over at MyBookie.ag, presenting sponsor all football season long. Go put you a mater or two on your favorite team to win big this fall, Shane. You know what?
Absolutely. But tear it up. I love it. I love it. And it is 100% deposit match. Remember, guys, do it now, because if you don't, later in the season, they may switch it back to the 50%. So take advantage of it while you can.
And when you win, get some of that earnings, Shane.
Yeah.
Head on over to Tennessee Ledge and buy you a bottle of the good stuff.
That's
how we'll be celebrating all football season, is by going over to Tennessee Ledge's distillery.
Yes.
And getting some good, fine bourbon over there. You know what?
Hey, and if you want to try it, you're not in the state of Tennessee, just go to your local package store. Tell them you need some Legend on the shelves. And I tell you what, you cannot go wrong. Born and raised, Sevierville, Tennessee. This is like drinking... Well, that sounds gross. I was about to go somewhere I shouldn't have been. This is awesome. Be sure to try it out. Make sure you get some sent to you. And if you are in Sevierville, this Friday, going to be up there to the Paint and Sip, 7 o'clock at the Sevierville exit, right off 407. So I'm looking forward to seeing folks up there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to paint. You just got to sip.
But you know what you do got to do, Shane?
What's that?
We got to honor... The legend is back.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR, Shane. He just gifted a membership to Initiate 5497. Initiate,
welcome to the family.
Family, courtesy of JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
And not to be outdone, Shane.
There he is.
The legend, Stephen Up. He has gifted a membership.
We Thank showing you. Up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, cuz.
Shane to Mike Free. Mike, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of the legend.
Stephen Up.
We appreciate you, buddy. So, man, like I said, football's in the air.
Yeah.
We're going to need Mike A says we need more Cherokee Cooch in here. I hope he's watching. But how about Jeez Louise says, Picasso Shane about to get shit-faced.
Hell yeah, man. It's fun because we're doing it's like a couple thing. So, like, I'm painting her, she's painting me. Uh-oh. And I told him, I said, you better make sure they got enough blue paint because I'm coming.
well, Shane, let's get into the action. Okay. There's a lot to cover here, right?
Yeah.
And we got some updates on some quarterback competitions, Shane. So first, let's get, because I think this is the biggest one of them all, really. I think this is the one that could determine, you know, how good Missouri is this year. And shout out to our buddy Gabe DeOrman, Power Mizzou. I caught one of his shows today, Shane.
Yeah.
And this is what he said, word for word. I wrote it down. And again, this is straight from Gabe. Well, I don't know if there's anybody that does a better job covering the Missouri Tigers than old Gabe. He predicts Bo Prabula will be Missouri's starting quarterback. And now here's what he says, though, because I want to make this clear. This is word for word. This is not a guarantee. Eli Drinkwitz has not made the decision, but Gabe says, I would be surprised if Bo Prabula is not the starting quarterback when Mizzou plays Central Arkansas. So thoughts on that, Shane? Any surprise? Does that change anything? What's your thoughts?
No, I don't think it changes anything, man. Because I was talking Mizzou earlier, and I just feel like this year the quarterback, in fact, what I thought, is not the linchpin. You know what I'm saying? It's not the reason that we're going to have success or failure in Missouri. I think we get back to the running game. I feel like we lean hard on that defense. We're in a spot here, Mike, where I really do think we've got a couple of good choices in Columbia. And as opposed to what we had last year, you know, when Brady got hurt, it felt like this whole offense fell apart. I don't think that happens. Definitely not week one, but you got to have it dialed in by that September 6th matchup with Kansas.
Well, let me ask you this then, because I think it's only natural because you got me thinking now.
Yeah.
Will we see multiple quarterbacks? And almost assuredly we will, because we'll beat the hell out of Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
But what if Bo gets the start, but Sam Horn looks a lot better? What do you do now? All of a sudden, now are we in a tricky spot here, entering a crucial rivalry game that we haven't played in 15 years?
I'm not a fan of switching quarterback, like a swing count, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, even Coach has been out here saying a couple of times, Bo's had a good run, Sam's had a good – it's like he's looking for consistency, and I feel like if you're creating inconsistency by pulling quarterbacks mid-game, then you're just kind of getting within his ear. So I think whoever we roll with is who we roll with. Now – well, we're up 49 points, you know, at that point, Plan B could come in and perform. But I do think it's important that they're both ready to go.
Right, but I'm not saying pull quarterbacks. I'm saying Bo Prabula comes in there, looks decent.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the Ahmad Hardy show. And then you put in Sam Horn for the second quarter on because you're up 28-0. And he throws five touchdowns and looks like Peyton Manning 2.0. Then what do you do?
Who got you to 28? You know, I don't think you pull a quarterback.
Ahmad Hardy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why get in the quarterback's head? Like, I feel Bo is the guy, Sam's the guy. It doesn't really matter. Honestly, Mike, I could care less because I still think both of them are going to be successful here. Like you said, it's going to be the Hardy show. But at the end of the day, why create quarterback competition when it doesn't, like, if we're splitting hairs, then pick your guy, lean on him, and don't bring in, you know, controversy in the second quarter, as you say. I would wait till second half, then roll that guy in there. But there's no controversy at that point because you got the twos in there.
I'll tell you why, Shane. Because some players are practice players and some players are game players. Josh Dobbs couldn't get the starting job at Tennessee till they had to throw him into action, and they said, well, my God, this guy looks like $1 million out there.
But you also said they're up 28 points. Now, I know what you're doing, Mike, and it ain't going to work today.
What if it's two defensive touchdowns,
Mike? If
and
it's
Bo's thrown two picks.
If it's 14-0 at half and we roll Sam, then yes, I think we found us a quarterback. But no, if it's 28 at the end of the first quarter, I'm not playing. And I don't think Drink, if you gave him true serum, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want quarterback controversy. He wants to lean on a guy, but you know, it's a delicate situation. You got Sam that's stuck around, that's fought like hell to get out there, and who knows, he may be the best quarterback. He may be the future. But you know, it may be Bo show, and if it's the Bo show, then don't get Sam's hopes up by thinking, you know, stringing him along.
I'm trying to fluster you. I'm doing a good job.
Jeez.
You know who's that flustered, Shane?
Who's that?
Our buddy, Cousin Kyle Lovinggood. Shane gave us 10 bucks. Mike and Shane, beer on me. We inspired him, Shane, to do a Fighting Texas Aggie content.
Come on.
Aggie Edge YouTube channel just made my season prediction for the Aggies. Go check it out after the show. So shout out Kyle, Cousin Kyle, man. We appreciate you.
And hell yeah.
Man, go check out Aggie Edge, man. That sounds pretty awesome.
You better have one fishing episode in it or I ain't watching it.
All right. Well, hey, then speaking of quarterback competition, Shane, again, we kind of hit on this already.
Yeah.
But it sounds like old Joey Aguilar making strides here. Many people, I want to credit all the people that I've seen saying this, Shane. John Reed was the first one. Shout out Fox Sports Knoxville. Austin Price, literally the GOAT of Tennessee media. And even old Pete Dankos, who broke the Nico news. They're all saying, looks like Joey Aguilar will be Tennessee's starting quarterback. Again, nothing official yet, but I think it is basically like a foregone conclusion. It will be Joey Aguilar against Syracuse in the opener in Atlanta. Any thoughts on that?
I love it. I mean, again, you don't want this thing dragging out. We're 15, 16 days, Tennessee's, so what, 17 days away from a football game, man. This isn't Central Arkansas. This is a Syracuse football team. I keep saying it. It's a team you can get beat by. So I need Joey, a guy that wasn't in this offense last year, to get all the reps, because it's very crucial the next couple of weeks to kind of get that dance with that offensive lineman, with those wide receivers and tight ends. Get this offense in sync.
Well, shout out Cousin Robert, Shane. He's got an excellent question, though.
Yeah.
What if Tennessee's down 28-0 at Mississippi State?
You then
what
son do you do? Well, how do we keep doing this, Mike?
Now, that's what I don't think. Now, here's my read on this one, right?
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to bury the guy, because who knows? He may be looking like $1 million. But I have seen Merklinger play a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't think he's your guy. So this tells me more than anything. You know, Joey's your guy. I like the freshman McIntyre. Hell, every time I've seen McIntyre play, he looks like $1 million. You know, I think he's the future right now in that room. The leader going into next year will probably be George McIntyre to be your starting quarterback. But I think this is all about getting Joey Aguilar accustomed to the system and getting him geared up for that Georgia game. Because if he doesn't look like $1 million against Georgia, you got no shot. I think you need your quarterback to be a star player. Yeah, you probably don't need him the vast majority of these games.
Yeah.
But Georgia, at Bama, maybe Oklahoma, and likely at Florida, quarterback's got to lead you. And I think they need to – I think they realize that, and they're going to stop fooling with the competition and just give them the ball.
Biggest competitions, obviously, I think, Tennessee and Missouri right now. And if – let's just hypothetically say Joe Aguilar, he gets the nod, right? He goes out there, Syracuse. You go over, you're looking at Bo at Mizzou. He gets the week one nod. Which quarterback is most likely to finish the season at either one of those programs?
Joey Aguilar, because Heupel doesn't really switch around like that.
Yeah, but I mean, would you? Let's just go to Tennessee. I hate talking about Mississippi like that, but if you pull up Tennessee's schedule, let's just hypothetically say the wheels fall off early. We lose to Syracuse, we lose to Georgia, and
let's say you lose to Georgia because of a couple Aguilar picks.
Yes.
This is the red flag when Tennessee got them.
Yeah.
Everybody typed in the YouTube, every Vol fan, Joey Aguilar highlights or Joey Aguilar stats. And they said, whoa, 24 interceptions. But he's got a lot of yards, right? So the issue is interceptions. Heupel will not stand for interceptions. His quarterbacks rarely throw interceptions. I mean, Joe Milton, you know, people were critical of him. Even Nico. Again, these guys did not throw a ton of interceptions. If Aguilar's throwing a bunch of interceptions and it costs you the Georgia game, then maybe you do throw in someone else, because you got UAB, you got Mississippi State, you got Arkansas. These are all – UAB is really the only one I'm looking at here that is like a gimme. But there's no one better in the SEC you'd rather tune up your quarterback than Mississippi State. And hell, who knows, Arkansas, look at their schedule before this, at Ole Miss, at Memphis, Notre Dame. I mean, Sam Pittman could be gone and fired by this point in time.
Yeah.
So Arkansas, I'm not calling them a gimme. Hell, they own Tennessee. But again, that's another opponent that would be a good one to get your quarterback up to speed before Bama. So, yeah, I mean, if Aguilar is a complete bust, I could see September 20th there being a quarterback change.
Yeah.
And I would think it would be George McIntyre.
Or at least the 27th with Mississippi State, you know? I mean, that's a good way to get 35 points for a new quarterback, right?
Hey, we're talking all bad about him. Because of Cameron, Shane. Hail steak. Even though y'all don't like steak, I like y'all, and I like the Cuzzos.
I give you a hard time just because the more we talk about it, the more worried I get. I'm like, why? When you talk about it so often, it's like, damn, should I? Now I'm kind of worried about Mississippi State, and I hate that. But, yeah, we got a lot of good state fans in there.
Well, for Cousin Cam, because he gave us a donation, Shane, what game are we talking about? And maybe it is that Tennessee game, but where's a game where, again, have we always been down on Mississippi State? Hell no. I mean,
right.
Literally my first year in the media was 2014. I said, Mississippi State's the team to bet on to win the SEC. Mm-hmm. They went number one. I've loved them ever since. But I can't, you know, last year was a travesty, 2-10. They were dog shit. What game do they got to win to where we start to turn the narrative and say, you know what? Jeff Lebby, he is the man for the job. And we were just totally unfair given the program he inherited. It was always going to be year two before he started showing signs of life. What game will you have to see for you to start believing in the Jeff Lebby here?
I for starters, non-conference, man. Even Arizona State, I feel like that would be the mass, like starting out 4-0, three. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally 4-0. 3-1 we can survive with, but I think it's important to get off to that hot start, kind of showcase this offense that Lebby wants to run, but you're going to have to surprise some teams. I feel like the easy answer here is Arkansas, picking them, but in September, October, I'm probably looking at, I mean, if there's one team I got my eye on, Mike, it's them, it's in Florida Gators. And I'm going to tell you why, just because some people are high on them. Some people aren't. Not this guy. I'm just telling you how I feel. LSU, Texas A&M. Then you've got Georgia, November 1st. You want to talk about an absolute sweet spot, even though it's in the swamp. And the one thing that I do like about Mississippi State is they can score points. Now, their defense may not be able to hold you, but I do wonder about teams like the Florida Gators. Like, what happens if we do not give the Florida, well, like if we give the Florida Gators a 3-and-out, then all of a sudden, you know, Mississippi State potentially scoring another touchdown. What happens then? So that's my only concern. And if I'm looking at a potential trap game for them Gators, I'm going with Mississippi State.
You're firing Napier halfway through
the season.
That's
the game. That would be the game right there. They're going to win it all. Florida's going to go undefeated. You sure shit know it, don't you?
After all this trash you've been talking about. And hey, shout out Airdolph Wolf. He gave us a dollar, too, so hey, we appreciate thanks, you, buddy. But, all right, hey, speaking of quarterback competition, we already hit on this on the last episode.
Yeah.
I meant to play this, but I did not. I just thought this was kind of cool. I'm liking this Ryan Grubb, Shane, Alabama offensive coordinator. And I think Alabama's offense, a big reason why I'm buying in this year, Shane, is because we got Ryan Grubb back. Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. You know what I mean? It's just like heaven over here. So, and while DeBoering is very DeBoering, Ryan Grubb is very entertaining. Why did Alabama make this decision, and why did Ty Simpson win the job? Let's kick it over to old Ryan Grubb.
I didn't know about the opening statement. Hey, guys, Ty Simpson's our starter. How's that? Pretty good? Okay, let it ride. What do we got?
Why is Ty Simpson your starter?
There we go. Good follow-up. Ty did a really nice job of, you know, taking care of the football. I think number one, like, I think Ty is an incredible playmaker on the move. And I think from there, guys like that, you worry, are they going to be able to train themselves to be able to take care of the football? And I just, even the room in general, Ty led that charge. But Ty didn't throw any picks last week. He's thrown one all camp. We've thrown like four total this camp, and this spring, I think at this time we had thrown like 15. So I think in general the guys are understanding the concepts and control of the offense a lot better as a room, and Ty was the best at that. And so his ability to command and create out of the pocket, I thought, was the best, make great decisions. And he's just much cleaner on some of the things that you expect an older quarterback to be able to do.
Oh, buddy. And was that a shot at old Jalen Milroe? I mean, I'm not saying it was. 15 interceptions last camp. Ryan Grubb wasn't even there. Yet he knows the interception totals for old Milroe. But And maybe that was Ty Simpson, too, throwing interceptions last year, and now he's progressed. That's probably more what he was going for. But I don't know, Shane, the more I hear from Ryan Grubb and DeBoering, and I'm lucky, Shane, that I jumped on this Alabama bandwagon early, because me and Stephen Up, I think we're riding it to the college football playoff, maybe even the national championship.
Yeah, you're probably right. You and Stephen and Stephen Up and all you guys just ride down there together, save some gas money, you know. Coaches, it's one thing to say this, right? And I do worry a little bit, just because they're they've said it multiple times about the interceptions. It feels like that. You ever seen that? Like, it never snows here. And then all of a sudden you get 6 inches of snow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went down to Tunica and they're like, it never snows here. Well, it did. And guess what was closed the next day? The buffet, you know? So I was pretty pissed off about this non-snow thing, but it happens. And so the lack of, or them coming out and talking about this, I wonder, is Ty going to be afraid to throw the football? You know, you remember when they started camp and they started talking about, like, we need these guys to be able to check down, to be able to, you know, not make the dumb plays. Right. I wonder, is there a little bit of that going on? Like, they're almost afraid to throw down the field, which we've seen some teams do in the past and not be successful. So
let me ask you this, as we got the schedule up here.
Yeah.
How many of these games, because you got me thinking, how many of them are going to be shootout-type games? And keep in mind, Alabama's got a really good defense on paper, of course. But, you know, you could easily say Georgia at Georgia. But how much faith do we have in Gunnar Stockton? Again, I'm not saying Gunnar's going to be bad, but is he going to light up the scoreboard against one of the best defenses in the SEC? I think that remains to be seen. I don't think... We think Vanderbilt's going to lie as good as they. Well, you hate Vanderbilt, but as good as I think Vanderbilt is, it's not in their DNA to run up the score. Missouri, I mean, hell, we don't even know who the starting quarterback is. Tennessee, same thing. Maybe at South Carolina, maybe LSU, but that one's in Tuscaloosa. And maybe, I really don't buy this one, but I know Shane does, Auburn. On the road, if Jackson Arnold, and it's less doubting Jackson Arnold, it's more doubting Hugh Freeze. But I'm only seeing maybe three potential shootouts here. So I don't think we need old Ty Simpson to be Mr. Gunslinger back. I think we need him to just take care of the football.
Yeah, you're probably right, Mike. At the end of the day, you usually are. But you just, I mean, you never know. I mean, Georgia has one of the most loaded wide receiver rooms in the country. Mm-hmm. You better damn believe they're going to want to flex that muscle. I think Tennessee, regardless of who's quarterback, we know what a prime Josh Heupel offense looks like, and that's explosive. LSU, like you said, who knows? I mean, if John Mateer and Deion get to going, Oklahoma could be excited. To sit here in July and try, or August, and try to guess which offense is going to be explosive throughout the year is almost impossible. But if it happens, can Alabama keep up? I think they can, but you're not, if you're just going to be checking down 3 yards. Hey, but he didn't get an interception. Yeah, he didn't get a first down either. So,
hey, shout out Cousin Russ. Shane, he says, I was going to do a super chat, but I had to buy a new fridge. So he gets paid tomorrow. Shout out, Russ. Cousin Russ. We'll allow that one.
How do you block him? I'm trying to figure it. No, just kidding, Russ. just kidding. I know what it's like, man, not have a fridge, brother. You know, it's funny. Power went out, and my wife wouldn't let me open the fridge because she was afraid if I did it, of course, it let all the cold air out. So it's like we had to eat everything out of the pantry, which, I mean, wasn't a bad thing. But, you know, cold drink was what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Hey, all right, Shane, I just thought this would be interesting to talk about. I had someone email me. Give him a shout out here. We had someone on the YouTube comments as well. Multiple people hit me up with the same kind of question here, Shane, about Georgia's offensive line. So I want to shout out Cousin Dylan. He wrote me an email. He said, you know, Georgia's offensive line has very, very slowly gotten worse every single year since Sam Pittman left for Arkansas. And then shout out Tank J on YouTube. He says, well, remember, I was kind of questioning Georgia on the last episode. He said, well, the offensive line was injured all last year. That's why they didn't look good against Ole Miss and Notre Dame. Georgia only had three games with the same offensive line. And, yeah, remember, Shane, they were 15th in the SEC in rushing, but they had three offensive linemen, Tate Ratledge, Jared Wilson, and Dylan Fairchild, drafted in the first three rounds last year. And then they had Xavier Truss. He didn't get drafted, but he's already signed with the Denver Broncos. So they had four NFL offensive linemen. So I don't know if it's a mix of injuries. I don't know if it's a, you know, Sam Pittman. And don't forget Matt Luke either. Yeah. Matt Luke is a very good coach. He's at Clemson now. And all of a sudden, Clemson's offensive line is not horrible anymore. And I credit that to Matt Luke. But what do you think is more the case? So I've given you a lot of information, but they lost talent. They were banged up. But some people are questioning whether this can still be an elite offensive line without Sam Pittman, guys. Who some of those guys I just referenced were Sam Pittman recruits. They finally kind of filtered out. What is your feeling on Georgia's offensive line going into what could be a critical year? Because you said it, you know, we're all hearing it. They got awesome weapons. But Gunner, is he the guy? It doesn't really matter if you don't have a good offensive line.
Right. No, absolutely. I guess
the test for me, Mike, is the running game. Yeah. And at the end of the day, what's the one thing that has suffered the most down there in Athens? I mean, this used to be the infamous RBU. You know, there was no doubt in my mind. You know, John Gruden got out there and he just rattled off 10, 15 running backs that have had major success down there. And where did it go? I think the running backs have still been there. They just haven't had the holes. They haven't had the opportunity. So I'm kind of with you here, man. It's one of the biggest surprises, because you would think all these recruiting classes that Kirby Smart's put together, that there would be some elite offensive line. And there has been some highly touted ones go down there. But at the end of the day, we're not talking about the Georgia line being the damn meat eaters like they should be. So right. Yeah, I kind of surprises me, but you know, all it takes is one good recruiting class and they may have them down there. My biggest concern though is when we talk to the Georgia guys like the Manziels and everything down there at media days, I didn't get the warm fuzzies that the offensive line is going to be elite this season.
Right. And we all know, Shane, with Kirby as your coach, yeah, it's maybe not fair. Especially when, you know, when you go 40 plus years without a national title, but then you go back to back, the expectation is really championship or bust. And I'm talking national championship. Because hell, I don't see too many dogs, you know, waving the flag. I mean, they're proud that they won the SEC, but they would have traded that for a natty, as anyone would. But if the offensive line, and again, I don't think they're going to be like this huge liability or anything, but if the offensive line is not better, I don't think there's a shot Georgia wins a national championship with Tennessee. Tennessee's the best part of their team is the defensive line. Alabama's defensive line should be very good. Guy, you listen to Auburn people, they got the best defensive line in the universe. Florida's defensive line is good. Texas spending $1 billion in the portal on defensive line. I mean, they're facing some very tough competition. That's even before they get to the playoff. Can Georgia win it all, Shane, if their offensive line is not better?
No. Because, Mike, just turn on the Notre Dame game, right? I mean, that surprised the shit out of me is how much chaos that front made. I mean, Gunner was running for his damn life. So, no, the offensive line has got to. The coaching has got to get better. I don't know, man. It seems like a couple of years ago, you know, when they had that 7-foot tight end down there, it just felt like that offensive line was impenetrable, you know? it felt like that these guys are just going to put their knuckles in the dirt and they were just going to, what does Kirby say, always say, break their wheel? That's kind of, that's what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, that stopped. So, I don't know, man. They got to get back to it. Maybe they got the pieces, but they do have the players around them. They do have the defense. I feel like when this offense doesn't have to, you know, win the football game by throwing, you know, the offensive line really love that. They love running the football, and it seems like we've kind of gotten away from it. I just would like to get them back to the running.
Hey, shout out to Vol Tiger Shane. He says, hate to be Kirby. Which 5-star do I start?
Bless his heart, you know.
Oh, and check us out, Shane. So Kyle, he gave us a donation. He says, Cousin Kyle, I'm at the hospital waiting for a new addition to the family. Number 3 should be here soon. That's dang, dedication. Congrats, cousin. He's having a child and he's watching the show. I'm sure his wife's not upset at all. I'm just giving you a hard time. That's
awesome.
But then
they make you sit in one of those chair beds, which is very uncomfortable. I mean, nobody talks about that, what the man has to go through.
Right. All right, let's not get anyone in trouble.
Yeah, I got to be careful. She's next door, so.
All right, hey, one more, Shane. I just thought this was damn wild. I mean, buddy. I mean, I don't have to say anymore because we already know where I'm at with Auburn, right?
Yeah, yes.
Well, we got a clip here. Auburn offensive coordinator Derek Nix,
mm-hmm,
and he references a Kent in here. He's talking about Coach Ken Austin. He's the quarterback coach at Auburn. And I say all that just to set up this short clip where he was asked, again, this is Auburn's offensive coordinator, who's calling the plays down there for Auburn? You tell me if this makes any damn sense.
Demystify that whole magic?
No, and no. I try to do a great job on P&Ts, drive starters. Can't try to do a great job on our third downs. And then how, you know, the head coach has got the, how should I say, the authority to overrule anything else we say or do.
How often does he overrule you?
It depends on how the game's going.
All right.
But, you know, he's highly involved. Coach, to me, he's a great, outstanding play caller, and I've learned everything from him.
All right, so the offensive coordinator's calling plays on first down. Our quarterback coach called plays on third and long. And head coaches, I mean, I don't know who's calling plays on second down, Shane, but I guess it's Hugh Freeze. How the hell, I mean, can you get anything done? Maybe this is part of the problem. And I'm sure we've all heard the saying, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's what I hear when I hear all that. I don't know about you.
And we've all had those helicopter bosses, you know, that just... Like, doesn't he got a freaking office he can go to or something, you know? I mean, when you're constantly looking over your shoulder, I mean, you got to remember, Hugh Freeze brought you in. And I feel like that should be enough, right? You bring me in to do a job. I'm going to do that job. I'm going to do it well. I don't need you just picking apart, because then I start finding myself coaching toward what I think Hugh Freeze would want instead of what I've been game prepping for this entire offseason. So, I don't like the sound of that. I'm not panicking because Auburn's going to have a big year this year, but if they don't, bring his clip back up, Mike.
I mean, I have heard, Shane, literally, I've never heard a college coach do this except for Hugh Freeze, and I've heard it from multiple people.
Yeah.
Where he will come up with a play on like Friday before a game and then throw it into the game plan. No one practice it.
Shit.
I mean,
kind of like Waterboy.
Without the success. But yeah. Yes, I have heard that.
Well, maybe the coach, like when he got, you remember that little stretch where he got his book took from him, you know, maybe that's kind of where he's at, trying to draw plays in the sand. I hate to hear that, but you know, again, you listen to people that are there that have been with Auburn. You know, a lot of them have glowing remarks about Coach and what he's done to the program. And I just feel like this is the season to put up or shut up, you know. And Coach has done, I mean, he's done enough talking. I'd be okay if he never gets back to the podium. I'm sure these other guys would agree. But yeah, this is the season that we've got to put it together. And if Auburn does it, man, I will be first in line to tell you you were correct, Mike.
Okay, I can't wait. You know what also I can't wait for, Shane?
What's that?
To welcome Total Kobo to the family.
He had
Total.
His baby? Oh, no. Welcome to the family.
And another, he's been around for a while, Shane. Be Creepy became a member. Creepy,
welcome to the family.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. Don't you name Kyle, don't you name that baby Mike. I'm going to tell you right now.
All right. One more. Marty Funkhauser, Hughes Hooker calls second. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Damn.
All right. Final thing I got for you, Shane, and we'll be able to hit on a lot of teams here. You know, I always get excited to do this. Mm-hmm. My buddy Adam McClintock, he's been on the show. He goes by the CFB Professor.
Yeah.
And he owns and runs a business with our buddy Dave Bartu. Mm-hmm. It's called Matrix Analytical. And what they do is they actually help these schools with coaching hires. Yeah. So they identify, you know, let's say Josh Heupel calls them and says, hey, I want a defensive backs coach that's got connections to the Southeast, you know, and they have actual grades on all these coaches. So this is not just some guy with a website that just goes and is you know, has these projections, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a legitimate business that many, many SEC schools and many schools across the country employ this service. And I say all that to set up, they have their own analytics, Shane.
Yeah.
And they have predicted the records. I wish for every SEC team, but they left off the Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. So we got the rest. So we got actual record projections.
Okay.
From someone in the college football business. And these, why I really wanted to share these, Shane, these are unique. These are the records they project.
Yeah.
You've not heard anything like this. So I love this. And just last thing I'll say, he says they use returning production, the talent on the roster, home field advantage, and their coach efficiency grades to come up with these records. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, I'm sure it will when you throw it out here.
Okay.
So you ever seen that meme where that guy's just looking at all them wires? You know, that's how I feel right now.
All right, so we're going to go down in order.
Yeah.
They have Arkansas as the number 33 team in the country.
Uh-huh.
And then they say the most likely record. Keep in mind, 33 in the country. You're like, that's pretty damn high, right?
Yeah.
That's higher than the AP poll. That's higher than the coaches poll for Arkansas. But the most likely record for Arkansas, 4-8.
Oof.
And it really, when you think about it, that's not that unrealistic given, you know, the schedule they face. To where they're probably winning 3 non-conference games, probably not getting Notre Dame, but beating Mississippi State in the conference. So again, I'm not guaranteeing that these are the records, but this is one of the first 4-8s I've seen for Arkansas.
Damn. That would be tough. It doesn't tell you which ones, right?
Well, I just told you the four. So it'll be all the non-conference except for Notre Dame. And yeah. Mississippi State.
Oh, my gosh. Would Sam... Sam wouldn't make it.
No.
Sam,
yeah. Hell no.
Well, I mean, like, would he make it past Mississippi State? I wouldn't even make it to the Mississippi... I mean, because if you're thinking about it, they're at this case, 1, 2, 3, and 3 and 5 coming into Mississippi State. Oof. 4. Nah, man, that'd be tough. Tough one, man.
That would, right?
Somebody's got to lose. You know, that's the crazy part. You wish the best for all programs, but somebody's coming out big time loser, and it could be Arkansas.
Right. So, all right. So they have Arkansas 33, right?
Yeah.
That's the lowest ranked team they have in the SEC aside from Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Next, Florida, Shane, number 23 in the country. I want you to guess, now that you know where they're at with Arkansas, where do you think Matrix Analytical says the most likely record for Florida is? And I'll give you a hint. It's closer to where Cousin Shane says than where I say.
5-7?
You nailed it. 5-7 for the Florida Gators. So, maybe they're just trying to get everybody fired so they can use their coaching abilities on all these programs, but... Yeah, I have not seen a single person, maybe other than Cousin Shane, predict 5-7 for the Florida Gators. That would obviously not end well, and I think we'd end with a new coach here in Gainesville, don't you?
Well, one thing's for sure, Billy ain't buying this program.
I actually, Shane, I think he is one of the ones that uses them.
Oh no. So he knows what's coming. That's why he's bracing us with all this injury talk.
Ooh.
Oh, damn, man.
But does that give you extra confidence in your view of Florida?
I told you, man. I've been trying to tell you, get on my bookie promo code. This is the time to do it because the Florida Gators will be lucky to go bowling this season.
Man. Mm-mm-mm. All right. Number 22 in the country, Shane.
Yes.
South Carolina. So that's lower than both polls.
Yes.
But I don't think that's totally unrealistic given the losses they had. Mm-hmm. Most likely record for the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
7-5.
You flip them 5-7 for the Gamecocks too. So again, they're just basing it on talent, coaching, where the games are played, and returning production. So man, that would be a hugely disappointing season for the South Carolina Gamecocks. But again, I've not seen anybody saying 5-7 except for Cousin Shane says, you know what, old Shane Beamer, he'll have a good year, and he has a bad year, and he has a good year, and he has a bad year. So who knows? Maybe they're in line for one of those bad years.
Because I know Beamer's listening. This isn't mine. But as he's putting it, he's putting on that little glass wall of his right now, you know. Some computer program's about to get their ass handed to them at the end of the season if they win more than four games.
Ooh, man, could you imagine though, number 22 in the country?
No.
Going 5-7. But if you look at it, Shane.
That's not possible.
Well, I think it is possible because we haven't mentioned Missouri. They're above them. We haven't mentioned LSU. They're above them. And both those are on the road. We haven't mentioned Ole Miss. That's on the road. A&M, on the road. Clemson, Alabama. They're not going to be favored in either one of those. Well, maybe Clemson, but not Alabama. So it would just be, you know, you're flipping the Oklahoma game to get you to 6-6. I'm not predicting 5-7, but
yeah.
I'm saying it very well could happen.
That seems like a worst-case scenario for me. That feels like Lenoris got banged up or something, you know? I get where you're coming from. I get where this I don't understand computers. But you know what I'm saying? There's a part of you deep down inside when you're thinking about South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You focus on the ceiling. You're watching the ceiling. But you know where the floor's at, too. And you do wonder, like, what is worst-case scenario for South Carolina, even though I still think that's a little too low.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but I just found it interesting.
What if I told you you finished in the top 25, huh? You'd be all excited, and then I told you how many games you lose.
All right, number 18, Shane. Texas A&M, what do you think the most likely record is for the Aggies? And this is not a trick question.
8-4.
8-4. You did it, buddy. So, oh, man, again, top 20 in the country, 8-4. Let the jokes continue. That, again, it makes sense, right? At Texas, at LSU, at Notre Dame. I would assume those are three losses. And then maybe, you know, one of Auburn, which we haven't hit on yet, Mizzou, South Carolina, Florida. That seems quite realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Cousin JR is saying South Carolina starts 7-0.
Ooh, he ain't buying this computer.
He ain't got time for this shit. I'm barely figuring mine out. I'm surprised I'm able to do this show. 8-4, very – I mean, I'm not surprised here, Mike. This is exactly where I think they're going to land. I think this is the one that it absolutely nailed.
Okay. The one. All right. How about number 16, Shane?
Yeah.
Remember, Missouri's not ranked in any of these damn polls.
Right.
According to Matrix Analytical, though, they're number 16 in the country.
Mm.
Most likely record – for Missouri, what do you think?
8-4.
9-3.
Ooh.
So a little bit better. Ooh. Again, the losses would be Bama, probably not A&M because they're ranked higher and they get them at home, but Oklahoma and probably Auburn just because they're on the road. And again, we haven't got to those programs yet. So again, 9-3 is not what we're shooting for. We're shooting for 10-2.
Yeah.
But 9-3, I could see. I mean, that, in fact, that's kind of the record I think Missouri's will get.
There's a lot of folks, a lot of Mizzou folks think that's. I mean, that's where they want to land. I just feel like this is a team that has the ability to kind of flirt with that playoff spot. So I like that 9-3, 10-2. This is a good spot for them.
Yeah. All right. How about number 13, Shane? Oh, Shane must have infected this computer.
Yes.
13th in the country. Auburn Tigers, Shane. Most likely record for old Auburn. Where do you think that is?
9-3.
Ooh, you're close. They say 8-4.
Oh.
So even though they're ranked higher.
I just figured you're doing this in order. So
I'm doing it in order of their rankings.
Yeah.
So what this tells you is Auburn's got a much, maybe not much, but a little bit tougher schedule than Missouri. So yeah. I think Missouri skews it with their schedule. But Auburn 8-4 with losses. Alabama, Georgia. We haven't done Oklahoma yet. And then somewhere between A&M, Missouri. So I could see 9-3. I'm a little surprised it didn't come up with 9-3 myself.
Yeah, 9-3 is what I'm thinking with the placement. But so you're saying 8-4 is what this supercomputer said.
Right. It says most likely record for Auburn is 8-4.
I believe you're happy, right?
I mean, I think 8-4. I think that's a good year for Auburn.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a step in the right direction, and you're building towards next year. 26 could be your special season.
But you're still probably calling him a bad name all offseason. It's like, what would get Mike back on the Hugh Freeze bandwagon? That's what I'm shooting for. So 9-3, you're kind of coming back around, right?
Right. I mean, because again, if he loses, let's say to Oklahoma, A&M. Georgia and Bama, I'd sit around and say, well, who the hell's he beating? Diego? Missouri? You know what I mean? Like, that'd be his best win.
Yeah, Baylor, and you're just like, they're probably the ones that made this computer program. shout out to P5, Caldry, if I messed that up. M-I-Z, still on high from yesterday when SEC Mike showed some love to Mizzou, saying we might beat Bama's trap game. M-I-Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be Alabama's first loss.
How much Tennessee legends did you have on that show, Mike?
All right, number 12, Shane, in the country, LSU. What do you think the most likely record is as per Matrix Analytical for LSU?
9-3.
Close. 8-4.
Oh, okay.
So again, another tricky one.
I'm going to keep saying it till it's right.
But that's kind of right where I think LSU is going to land. They're going to have to pull an upset somewhere at Clemson, at Bama, at Oklahoma, at Ole Miss. Again, we haven't hit on any of those teams yet.
But still, even though maybe you like the overall, the placement, but 8-4, I don't know if Coach Kelly's safe, man, because what if it's a loss to Clemson, Ole Miss, Bama, and let's just say the away games, and Oklahoma. I feel like you're hanging your hat on the Florida Gator win, a South Carolina win, a Texas A&M win, Vandy on the road.
Right.
I don't know, man. I don't think the LSU fans would – I don't know if they'd handle that. I don't know how they'd handle that.
I think he would come back at 8-4.
Golly.
But he'd be on the hottest seat in the country.
Yeah.
And now, if he loses to Clemson in Florida, I've predicted that. I think it was even on Feinbaum. If he loses the two of the first three, he's getting fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Two out of the first three, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Fire's ass,
emergency podcast every LSU game.
All right, no, hey, they're high on Oklahoma, Shane, number 11 in the country. Ooh. Remember, the coaches don't even have Oklahoma ranked. Most likely record for the Sooners. What do you think it is
with that schedule? 7-5.
You're close. 8-4.
Damn.
So
damn. You navigate 8-4 with that schedule. You not only bringing Venables back, I think you're giving him a raise.
Yeah, I mean, that's where Oklahoma's at right now, where they'll never accept 8-4 as a good year.
Mm-hmm.
But you could legitimately be the number 11 team in the country.
Yeah.
And you'd be lucky to go 8-4.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. But again, I'm thinking Oklahoma gets blessed here the next couple of seasons with the scheduling. So just hang in there, Sooners.
All right. Hey, you'll love it. All of a sudden, Shane, you're going to love this damn computer.
Oh, I already am because we're just now getting to Tennessee. Come on.
Number 9 in the country, according to Matrix Analytical.
Yeah.
Most likely record for the Vols, Shane.
10-2.
You nailed it. 10-2. They only have two losses, Georgia and at Bama. The rest are wins, most likely, according to Matrix Analytical.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee would be right back in the playoff, wouldn't they?
We need to have these guys on again, Mike. We need to have them on. back to the playoffs yet again? I would absolutely. I mean, this would be awesome. Keep it rolling, son.
Liquid says the Matrix is hacked. This is an insane list.
Shit. Oh, man.
What? How likely, though, in all honesty, do you think 10-2 is for Tennessee as of today?
How likely? I would say 70%. 70% likely.
70%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love this. Mike, I obviously am a big Orange homer, mm-hmm. but this schedule.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You think Florida sucks, so that's not much of a challenge. Yeah, you might be right then.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, what's that, you know?
Does Oklahoma concern you at all?
Yes. Yeah, I would say probably if I was, like, picking, it'd be Georgia, Alabama, then Oklahoma, then Florida.
Hell, I don't know if Oklahoma's going to have any guys available, though, by this time, you know, given this damn gauntlet that they're facing.
Got a point there, but I feel like they get up for that game. You know what I'm saying? Because they're gonna be drinking some Tennessee Legend Distillery, which just gifted 5 memberships. So let's give those cousins a shout out here, Mike. We've got Tesla Talk, Gray on Fisher, It's Your B, Jeff B, and Growth Mindset. You have all been gifted a cousin. I don't know how you say that, Mike.
A membership.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I've been drinking. I'll let you take over from here.
Welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you, Tennessee Legends. But what about the I'm surprised you didn't mention this, Shane.
Yeah.
Do those pistols not scare you down there November 15th?
If I was thinking, like, who, like, if it's like a fight, it'd be the Dragon First of UAB. The New Mexico cowboy there. What is that, Rodriguez? You remember he did that ad? And then I would probably say, I don't know, an elephant. I think an elephant would be pretty damn scary if it was chasing you.
Hey, shout out Shiny. He says, Cousin Shane's going to be real upset when Aguilar throws another 15 picks.
Oh, you misspelled touchdowns.
And Liquid says, Shane reading names sounds like a grandpa trying to rap.
Trying to keep up with my kid's lingo, you know. They'll say something, I got to look it up. Like, is that... Why, that's not even a word.
All right. Hey, Shane, a program we have disrespected all offseason.
Yes.
We haven't hit on them yet. According to Matrix Analytical, Ole Miss, Shane, number 7 in the country.
Wow.
Most likely record for the Ole Miss Rebels, Shane. What do you think it is?
I got to go 10-2.
Not good enough, Shane. They've got them 11-1.
Wow.
Most likely record for Ole Miss with the lone loss being at Georgia.
Damn, that is crazy. I guess we're talking Georgia.
All Kiffin does is win.
I know. And it just, does it feel like we're not talking about them enough? I know I got my Ole Miss blue on today.
I think this is the team that could come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think they don't deserve the hype after last year, after falling short of massive expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, who's beating them? LSU, maybe? Georgia, likely, because it's in Athens. Maybe Oklahoma. You know, South Carolina and Florida are certainly, those are going to be competitive ball games. But, man, I'm stretching to fight. I'm saying these home games are going to be competitive. I mean, Yeah. All of a sudden, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, I get why this is so high on Ole Miss here.
This AI was hallucinating. I do wonder, I mean, if that happens, how funny. I don't want to say funny, not for Ole Miss, but they go to an SEC championship, maybe lose that one, and then they drop the first college football playoff or something. I don't know.
Or
man,
they don't even make the playoff because they get beaten so bad in the SEC championship a year after Kiffin says, hey, we don't want to play in the SEC.
Exactly.
That would be Sankey getting them back. You know what?
I feel like there are a couple of coaches that are flirting with elite status, and Lane Kiffin's one of them, right? I mean, you cannot deny what this guy has done, even though I'm not a huge fan, obviously, for what he did to Tennessee. But this is a guy that has paid his dues. Look, he after that USC, he spends time down there in Florida. He doesn't just do one and done. He could have left after 11 wins and went somewhere.
Right.
He sticks around. He gets with Bama. I just feel like, man, this is a coach that has earned his stripes, and now he's putting Ole Miss on the board, 10 wins every single year. They're flirting with playoffs. They make it. They start making that now that they're winning some of these big games. Brother, I think you've got yourselves an elite quarterback or coach down there.
Could have been a dynasty on Rocky Top. That's why you don't like him.
I know. That fat bastard Cody. He hasn't jumped that high since that day. Guarantee it.
All right. Hey, this is the lowest I've seen Texas, Shane.
Yeah.
Number 4 in the country, according to Matrix Analytical. Most likely record for the Longhorns. What do you think?
11-1.
No, because you got to remember, we haven't done Georgia, and we're not going to talk Ohio State, but all these damn computers love Ohio State.
10-2.
So 10-2 is the likely, most likely record for Texas, which, again, that'll get you in the playoff. That's all you really care about. And if Ohio State or Georgia was a home game, we'd be saying 11-1, 12-0, you know. So, again, this is not talking bad about Texas, but I think that makes sense on paper, doesn't it?
The only thing that doesn't is comparing the two. So when I'm saying that, say Texas goes, what'd you say, 10-2?
Yes.
And then you look at Ole Miss over here, they go 11-1.
Right.
I mean, that means they've got wins over potentially Georgia. Well, probably not Georgia.
Not Georgia,
you're not mentioning
but
them,
everybody but else.
LSU, South Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma.
Right. Well, remember, I mean, we said Florida 5-7. We said South Carolina 5-7.
Oh, well.
We said LSU 8-4.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's adding up here.
Yeah, my computer ain't computing, so I got you. I got you.
Well, speaking of them dogs, Shane, they'll be happy with this
12-0. 12-0.
Number 2, Georgia, most likely record. What do you think?
12-0.
11-1.
Shit. They just did that to piss me off. Who did they lose to?
Number 1, Shane, Alabama, according to Matrix Analytical, most likely record 12-0.
Damn.
Buddy, they're buying the Ty Simpson, Kalen DeBoering hype. Again, this kind of blew my doors off, Shane, because, I'm the one saying Bama's going to win the SEC. People call me a crackpot over here, and now all I found is the one computer formula in the nation that's got Alabama number 1 in the country going 12-0. And I'm not sitting here telling you Alabama's going 12-0, but to me that's fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Somebody called you a crackpot. Is that what you called it? I don't think I've ever been called a crackpot. But
half of Fine Bob's audience have called me.
Oh,
that
yeah,
a time
that's
or two.
That's a Fine Bomb comment, I guess. Yeah, that makes more sense. But does it blow your mind? No, I really do think Alabama's going to have a great football team, but 12-0, I don't know if there's any undefeated teams in this conference at the end of the year. I'm just being real with you.
What if I could guarantee you they beat Georgia? What's the record for Alabama? I mean, who's beating them?
If they beat Georgia, I'm not ruling out a Tennessee, South Carolina, or LSU, or Oklahoma, or Auburn. That's just where I'm at. I think the teams are tighter this year, and I feel like that's why Sankey is just harping on these playoffs, because I think when we get to the end of the season, there's going to be multiple teams sitting there with potentially two or three losses, you know, pretty much begging to get in. So,
I mean, you know who's not going to be begging, Shane?
Between the Hedges.
Yeah, $12 for them dogs to go 12-0. We Hell appreciate yeah. you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it, man.
All right, so that's all I got. I'm trying to read through the comments, see if we missed anything good. You got anything else, buddy, before we hop off?
No, it's been a long one. After this, don't forget, we had an SEC hangover this morning. If you didn't check it out, get over there. And if you don't
that's why you're so hungover.
No. Dude, I'm telling you, it's early, you know, because I'm trying to think of the words here. I'm kind of lost, but respect.
Yeah.
You know, I took this for granted. There's a lot that goes into it, getting this prep stuff together, keeping the cousins entertained. There's a lot, and I appreciate you for doing that. And I appreciate everybody jumping over there and at least giving a thumbs up. You ain't got to watch that fat bastard this morning, even though it was fun. I thought we had a good time. But, yeah, the thumbs up means a lot. If you do it in this video, that means the world as well.
Hey, shout out Liquid. Shane said exactly what I was typing. Anyone in the SEC could beat Alabama. Anyone on their schedule.
Yeah, that's it, man.
And
absolutely.
Shout out AVC. Shane, he gave us $5. Mike, put your big boy pants on and say it with your chest. 7 o'clock, and OU and the Aggies still suck. Thank you for the donation. And he also gifted a membership, Shane, to... Da, 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 da. Refresh. I'm trying to see who he left it to here. We'll get to it here in just a second. Shane's dying to go to bed, apparently.
But. No. Here's what I'm doing. I made a joke, and I put my Venmo out there. Uh-huh. Shout out to Jared, Max, Joseph, and Daniel. They sent me collectively $27, so I'm going to the Cracker Bee right after this.
Here's AVC. He gifted Christian Holt. Christian!
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you. Thank you, ACV. And is this the same AB for three, Shane? Appreciate you all. $20.
Damn, come on, AB.
Thank Tony you so
Brown.
Much.
I didn't know he listened.
Nice appreciate car you. There, too.
Yeah, he must be Texas, right? That's a Texas orange. I've seen him.
They're recruiting down there. You know?
Yeah, recruiting. I love it. Shout out to the cousins today. Let's see. Do we got them all pulled up here? I appreciate JP throwing this together. Today's shout out goes to Cousin JR, Stephen Up, Kyle Loving Good, Arter Wolf, Cameron Williams, Marty Funkhauser, P5, Tennessee Legend Distillery, ACV, and Between the Hedges. Thank you, thank you, and thank you, JP, for keeping up with that and putting it together. See, and also shout out your team so you can, anytime you guys do a donation, if you'll put the team out there, JP will be able to log that for us. So, hell yeah, man. Hey, we're one day closer, right? We are one day closer. What is tomorrow? Thursday?
Yes, we'll be back.
Mailbag
show tomorrow. Yes. So be locked in. Be here tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. We appreciate each and every one of you. It's going to be the last show for a while for Shane. He's going on vacation. Yeah. So if you want some Cousin Shane, you better show your ass up tomorrow. That's all we got on this episode.
Yeah, if you're curious where the hurricane's coming, it's where I'm heading, right? So.
All right, buddy, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.